It's the Microgomp Podcast. I'm your host, Rob Walling. In this episode, we pull audio from one of our most popular YouTube videos called AI is Crushing Big SaaS. This is a Microgomp Tactics episode where we go to youtube.com/@Rob Walling and we look at a video that got a lot of views and we put it here on this channel. The visuals for these videos really do hold up, and my team puts a lot of time into them, and I think they augment the message very well. So if you want to click the link in the show notes, you can go watch the video or head to youtube.com/@Rob Walling to subscribe. Before we dive in, I'm writing another book. In fact, I finished it, and it's going to print here in the next month or two. It's called Idea to Traction: Stop Building SaaS Nobody Wants, Even in the Age of AI. I'm not doing a Kickstarter this time. I'm doing pre-orders, and you can get on the wait list as well as get free bonuses like a live Q&A with me, my 9-to-5 audit, by heading to ideatotractionbook.com. That's ideatotractionbook.com. And with that, let's dive in to how AI is crushing big SaaS. Earlier this year, $2 trillion in market cap evaporated from the public SaaS markets in a single month. The headlines were calling it the SaaSpocalypse. Keyboard warriors were screaming that SaaS is dead. I've heard this take before, and it hasn't aged well. I'm Rob Walling. I've spent over 20 years building, exiting, and investing in SaaS. From the startup wasteland after the dot-com bust, during the 2008 recession, the age of mobile apps, and the no-code era. What I want to do today is cut through the noise. The math that's terrifying publicly traded companies doesn't apply to you in the same way. And I'll show you why the advantages bootstrappers have always had are actually getting stronger right now, not weaker. So let's start with what actually happened. The sell-off was strong and fast. It happened between January and February of 2026. Fear of AI disruption had been building for months, and it finally took hold on the public markets. There are a lot of theories on what drove this. Seat-based pricing under pressure, budgets shifting towards AI infrastructure, headcount contraction, growth rates that had been decelerating for years. It probably was a bit of all of it at once. The broader stock market has recovered and hit new highs, but public software stocks are still down about 25% from their peak. The market is clearly treating software differently than everything else. One thing worth keeping in mind, every company driving these headlines is publicly traded and enormous. But as you think about this, realize that a company with 50,000 enterprise seats is going to feel this shift completely differently than a founder selling to 500 small and medium-sized businesses. It's totally different math. Public SaaS companies are built on massive seat counts and enterprise contracts. And when seat counts shrink even 10 to 15%, that's tens or hundreds of millions in ARR gone overnight. This SaaS is dying narrative is being written by people watching the top of the market. And bootstrap SaaS isn't architected around those assumptions. You're not relying so heavily on expansion revenue from these 10,000 seat enterprise deals. Even if AI cuts the total addressable market in half, there's still more than enough room for a bootstrap founder to build a really incredible business. The math is pretty simple. A market that shrinks from 50 million to 25 million is still a $25 million market. Bootstrappers don't need a billion-dollar TAM. You need a niche that supports 500,000 to 5 million in ARR. That is a life-changing business. The contraction in large enterprise SaaS doesn't eliminate the SMB and mid-market niches that bootstrappers typically serve. If you're a bootstrapper, you've never competed on scale. You compete on focus, speed, and knowing your customers better than anyone else. And those advantages don't just survive this moment, they actually get more powerful. Let's look at four core advantages that bootstrappers have. First one is speed and nimbleness. A two-person team can ship a new feature in response to a customer request in 6 hours or a day. A public company with 500 engineers runs that through four layers of product management. When the market is moving fast, being small is a feature, not a liability. Number two, customer proximity. You probably know your top 10 or 20 customers by name, maybe more. You talk to them. You hear about their problems before they cancel. That direct relationship is almost impossible to replicate at scale, and it's what lets you stay ahead of what they actually need. The third is niche depth. Vertical workflow-specific tools that enterprises won't build and AI won't replace. Your domain knowledge, not your code, is your moat. And lastly, low overhead. You have no venture capital pressure to grow at all costs. So with a leaner cost structure, it means you can survive and adapt while larger players are still running their reorg meetings. And AI multiplies all of this. A two-person team can now move like a five-person team. AI speeds up a lot of the work, support docs, first drafts, QA, basic development tasks. Your ability to sit with customers, hear their problems, and iterate fast continues to be another amazing advantage that AI gives you. I'm invested in 241 B2B SaaS companies. The bulk of those are inside TinySeed, which is my accelerator for B2B SaaS founders. And I'm seeing many TinySeed founders dramatically accelerate their ability to ship features. I've seen several of them implement like consulting services and onboarding that used to take a tremendous amount of time. But instead of having to manually import data from another system that isn't formatted very well, AI is actually quite good at that. There are even TinySeed companies like Maui, which is based in Costa Rica, and they serve construction firms, and they allow their electricians or folks in the field to get in WhatsApp and verbally say the materials that they need. And Maui, using AI, is able to transcribe that and then turn it into a real list of materials that they need to ship to the job. And Senior Place is using AI to help their customers take notes on paper, which is where their customers are comfortable, and scan them in to their application, making it a much more native experience for their user base. This is unlikely to be something a big venture-funded company would think about or would care to do. But as a bootstrapper, you're so close to your customers and you really know what they want and you're great at problem solving. And AI makes that more achievable today than it ever has been. One of the best things you can do right now is get in a room with other founders who are navigating this same moment. If you want to be around a couple hundred bootstrapped and mostly bootstrapped founders who are all figuring out how to grow their businesses and stay on top of AI, join me and about 175 of my closest bootstrap founder friends in Iceland for MicroConf Europe. It's September 21st through the 23rd of 2026. You can head to microconfeurope.com to see the incredible speaker lineup we're putting together. And we're going to have some amazing excursions. And you'll be in a room with a bunch of bootstrap founders who are working on very similar problems to you. When you're in that room for the first time in your life as a SaaS founder, you'll probably have this feeling, this is where I belong. So we just wrapped MicroConf in Portland, and these types of conversations that I'm talking about in this video about AI and whether it's going to destroy all SaaS, these were exactly the conversations happening on stage and in the hallways. Here are some of the key takeaways I think you should keep in mind right now. Do stay close to your customers, now more than ever. The founders who are talking to customers weekly are the ones who see problems coming before they churn. Also, keep your ICP tight and your product focused on a specific recurring pain. Use AI tools to move faster. More output per person, faster iteration cycles. As long as you are a developer or you have developers who are maintaining code quality and you're not just vibe coding your SaaS app. And also watch your churn closely. That's the real signal for whether your product is actually vulnerable. And then I have a couple of don'ts. Don't pivot to AI powered as a positioning move without real substance behind it. And don't let the public market headlines distract you from what's happening in our types of businesses. And lastly, don't panic. I've seen this type of thing every 3 or 4 years about how SaaS is dead, SEO is dead, the web is dead. People always think something's dying when really it's just a shift that you'll be fine. Like, we're gonna survive this. And whether SaaS continues to be the juggernaut it is or isn't, bootstrap founders like yourself are always gonna find a way to figure out where the angles are and to build incredible companies that can change their lives. I still believe that today is one of the best times in history to be a bootstrap founder.